message because it will change you. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48, verse 1. It says, sometime later, Joseph was told, your father is ill. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told, your son Joseph has come, Israel rallied his strength and sat up on the bed. Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me. Isn't that amazing? Jacob is on his almost dying bed. Perhaps he has not seen his grandsons. Joseph comes along with his two sons. And one of the first things out of Jacob's mouth is that God has blessed him. In other words, this idea of blessing has been there with Jacob all these years. And as we go on and we'll go on, you'll see that Jacob went on to bless his grandsons. In his final moments, he felt that this thing was so important. As I've looked at this thing, I wondered to myself, why did Joseph even carry his sons there? Why did he even carry sons there? Is it just to see the grandfather before he dies? Perhaps. Or perhaps Joseph understood something about blessing and was believing God that his own father, Jacob, would impart a blessing to Ephraim and Manasseh. And I suspect it's both. He wanted them to see their grandfather, but he also wanted and was anticipating that his grandfather would have imparted something to these boys. Verse 8 of Genesis 48. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, who are these? These are the sons God has given me here, Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said, bring them to me so I may bless them. So you see what's on the mind of Israel. It's not like, bring them to me so I might hug them, so I might smoosh them. You know, all the nice things that we do in our culture when we see kids. He was saying, bring them to me so I might impart a blessing into their lives. Because you know what? As I said, Joseph, something happened to me. God bless me. And so I understand this principle of blessing. Now, we in this culture, we don't understand it. We don't understand the principle of blessing. We think it's just, well, good luck, happenstance. We don't understand the principle of blessing, and so we miss out on a lot. I didn't understand it until relatively late in my life. So now I'm sharing it with those of you who are younger so you can benefit from it early. That there's a principle, there's some things that God wants us to lay hold of, and blessing is one of them. Now Joseph, I believe, understood it. Because Joseph lived in a, what you might call, an oral culture. They didn't have the printing press and all of these books that we have today. So parents would tell and retell the stories. You know, when they gather around, they retell the stories. And I can only imagine Abraham telling Isaac the story, and Isaac telling it to Jacob, and Jacob telling his sons the story of blessing. When they gather around, they didn't have time, thank God they didn't have television back then to distract them, to, you know, when you gather around, you're gone to watch television. No, they gather around to listen to what the older ones had to say, what we experience in life, the stories of God's intervention in our lives. And I'm saying to us, people of God, we need to tell the stories of what God has done in our lives. Amen. Tell it and retell it and retell it. Amen. So to our nephews, our nieces, our sons, our grandsons and daughters, whoever we can find, the younger folks, the older folks, it doesn't matter. Tell and retell the stories of how God has intervened in your life. Of the blessings of Almighty God. I've come to discover that God's disposition, God's, to use computer term, default response to us is blessing. How many of you understand what I'm saying? When God created Adam and Eve, What did he do? He blessed them. And said, be fruitful and multiply. It's God's default response. He didn't just say, well, I've made, you know, go ahead. He said, no, let me impart something into you. And he blessed them. The last thing Jesus did to his disciples in Luke 24 was to bless them. It's such an important thing. And so I'm sure Joseph understood what Abraham went through. And when God called Abraham, God initiated blessing as a part of the call. God says, leave your homeland, leave all of these folks, and come with me. I'm going to take you to a land, and I'm going to bless you. Blessing was part of the call. And so Abraham understood this. And so he journeyed with the Lord. And on his journey in Genesis 14, man, I wish I had the time to talk a little bit about Genesis 14. It's such a powerful chapter. Let's just look at it quickly. Genesis 14, verse 5 says, in the 14th year, Kedorlaomer, some king. I'm telling you, I thought I could read until I started to read the Bible. And when I see all of these big words, I'm like, oh, my Lord, help us. What about the simple names like John and Joseph? I mean, so in the year of this king, the kings who were allied with him, they went out and defeated the Ramathites and the Zusites and the Emites and Horites. So four kings aligned with this king, and they went out there and defeated all of these nations. Verse 7, then they turned back and went to En-Mizpah, and they conquered the whole territory of the Amalekites as well as the Amorites. So this king and these other kings, they are just out there just conquering nations. Just conquering nations. Verse 8, then the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Adma and the king of five other kings come together to come against these four kings. That's verse 9. Four kings against five. Verse 10. Now in the valley of Shittim was full of tar pits. And when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of the men fell into them and the rest fled to the hills. And the four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. Then they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possession since he was living in Sodom. So here you have these four kings. They are conquering nations. And now they've come and they've conquered Sodom and Gomorrah. And other nations, these, and they've taken off Abraham's nephew into captivity. And if you look at that, it sounds dismal. I mean, Abraham, your nephew, has been captured by these kings who have been conquering nations. I mean, these are not just some small timers. These guys are vicious, and they're going out there just, I mean, they know how to fight. And so you'd have thought Abraham would have said, well, what will be. I'm sorry for Lot, but so be it. No, Abraham didn't do that. Abraham didn't look at the history of these kings. Abraham instead rallied himself, rallied his men. Verse 14. When Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. So if you get the picture here, you know, Abraham wasn't just traveling with his wife and just a few household people. It was a big community of them. At least 318 of the men who were there in his household were trained to fight, because you have to defend yourself when you're out there just traveling in the wild. And so he gathered his 318 men and went after these four kings and defeated them and got his nephew back. So it tells me just the type of mindset that Abraham had. Many of us think Father Abraham was just a little old man who was just traveling out there, and he and his wife Sarah and Hagar, and you know, I mean, what can he do? No, this man was a military man. He understood how to fight. He understood how to protect his family. The next series is on spiritual warfare. And we're going to get very, very practical, helping us to understand how to protect our family, how to fight the fight against anxiety and all this that come against us as the people of God. Abraham understood how to fight, and Abraham didn't flinch one moment and says, well, suppose we are defeated also. Abraham said, no, my nephew has been taken captive. I need to set him free. If your family members are captive of the enemy, you need to take a stance so that they can walk in freedom. Don't just say, well, they're involved in drugs, what can I do? You can wage warfare on their behalf. How many understand what I'm talking about? We're too passive in the kingdom of God. We have this idea, what will be, que sera. It's not so it goes. It's those who, according to what Jesus says in Matthew, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It is those who want to take these things who get it. And those who want to be passive may or may not. And so Abraham went after these armies and conquered them and received back his nephew. Verse 16 says, 15 says, during the night, Abraham divided his men to attack them, and he routed them and pursuing them as far as Hobath, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods, brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating this king, and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveth. So Abram alone went. He didn't even depend upon Sodom and all his other kings. Just he and his 318 trained men went and defeated these four kings and recovered all that the enemy had taken. How did he do it? How did he do it? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to leave you in suspense. Verse 19. Well, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought up bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. So Melchizedek appeared out of nowhere. But he was a priest of God Most High, the one true God. He was someone who was in relationship with God. And he appeared on the scene, verse 19, and he blessed Abraham. We're talking about blessing. This king blessed Abraham, said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. In other words, this king was affirming to Abraham, the reason why you got victory is because God was fighting with you and for you. So God brought your enemies into and gave them into your hands. You understand what I'm saying? So Abraham didn't sit back and say, well, if God wants to set Lot free, he will set him free. No, Abraham is like, no, not under my watch. You're not going to take my nephew. You're not going to take, no, I'm coming after you, and we're going to fight. That's what Abraham did, and according to this priest, it was God who gave him victory over his enemies. And so this priest came and said, blessed be Abraham, and imparted a blessing into the man of God. And I'm saying to us, friends, that God is looking for some people who will go after the things that belong to them so that he can impart a blessing into their lives. And I can imagine Abraham telling this story time and time again to Isaac growing up. I said, Isaac, let me tell you a story, boy. Did I tell you this before? Well, let me tell you again. There was a time when they took Lot into captivity, and me and my 318 men went after them, and God gave us victory. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. And so Abraham would tell and retell the stories. And Isaac would understand the stories. And Isaac would have his own experience of blessing. And Isaac would pass it on to Jacob and Esau. Of God has intervened in their life time and time again. So they had a mentality of being blessed. That God is on our side. God is for us. He's not against us. And so Melchizedek blessed Abraham here, not just as a little man wandering out there, but blessed him because he was a warrior who didn't sit down passively, but who went after the enemy and set people free. And then Abraham was blessed again out of obedience. In Genesis 22, after God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac, and he moved in obedience and God stopped him. Genesis 22:15, it says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make a descendant as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants, you must underline this in your Bible, your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. I like that. Your descendants will take possession of what? The cities of your enemies. You understand? That's part of the blessing. God is saying, listen, I'm not just calling you to remain where you're at, but I'm going to take you and your descendants to a place where you will take over what the enemy has. Your descendants will take possession of what? The cities of your enemies. Friends, we need to learn to bless our children. Listen, you are going to end up in places of authority. You are going to end up making decisions. You are going to end up in a place of influence. And where the enemy now occupies, where they have all of these liberal people in authority, you are going to be the one there. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Rather than, well, you know, the world is so bad and who knows what's going to happen. No, we need to train our children and impart blessings into them so that they walk around understanding who they are. They're destined to be successful. Oh, man. I don't know if we have enough time for this. Isaac was also blessed of the Lord. And in that five-part series, we talk a lot about Isaac. Oh, Isaac, wherever he went, there was famine, drought. Wherever he dug a well, water came up. And when people said, no, 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 that old well was ours, Isaac says, you know what? You can keep it. He moved on to somewhere else, dug another well, and there in the middle of nowhere, water comes up. And he gets a hundredfold increase in a time of famine. And then the king Abimelech looks on and realizes, you know, Isaac, you are the blessed of God. Affirms the blessing of God in Isaac's life. But I want to look at the blessing that Laban gave to Rebekah. You see, those people lived in a time when they blessed each other. Laban being the older brother of Rebekah, when she was to go forth to be married to Isaac, Laban imparted a blessing into his life of his sister. He didn't just say, well, sis, see you, have a good life. No, he imparted a blessing into the life of his sister. Genesis 24 and verse 60. It says, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. And then underline this part in the Bible. And may your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. You understand? Laban is saying to his sister, may your children, may your offspring, may your descendants possess the gates of their enemies. I know gates is something we need to understand. Gates is talking about the place of authority. May your children be the ones in authority. May your children be the ones influencing your enemies. My Lord. My Lord. We need to impart blessings. Our children, your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, they're not destined just to, I don't know, just have a job, make ends meet, and go home. No, God is helping us to see that we are supposed to release our children to do greater things than we've ever done. To have a greater impact. Wow. So let's talk a little bit about Jacob then. Because all these stories Jacob would have heard. No, Jacob, Esau, Rebekah, all understood this principle of blessing. So when Isaac says to Esau, Esau, I don't know how much time I have left. Go fix me something so that I might impart a blessing into your life. The Bible says that Rebekah overheard. And said, what? He's going to bless Esau? But Jacob is my favorite. She wasn't like, well, what's a blessing anyway? That's how we think in our Western society. What's a blessing anyway? It's just a little thing they say. It's no big deal. No, for them it was a big deal. It was such a big deal that Rebekah says, Jacob, we're going to do whatever we have to do to get this blessing. You have to be devious, deceptive. It doesn't matter. If he's, Jacob is like, but suppose he finds out and curses me. Rebecca is like, let that curse come upon me. Son, you have to take this chance because it's a blessing that your father is about to impart. Lord, give us revelation. Lord, give us insights. Friends, if you have a godly father, a godly mother, a godly uncle, you find them and say, impart a blessing into my life. You have something in you that you can pray and release into my life that will make a difference. Friends, we pray for our children. My wife and I can tell you. And impart blessings into them. Say, no, no, no. You are not made just to be some ordinary kid. You are supposed to stand in the place of authority. You are supposed to influence the enemy. You are supposed to make a difference wherever you are. You are supposed to be the head and not the tail. You are supposed to be above and not beneath. You understand what I'm saying, friends? We're supposed to raise up. It says that our children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior that will release them and they create problems for the enemy in the gates. That's in the Psalms. And so these two guys are like, we're going to get a blessing. Mother's like, you're going to get a blessing. So Jacob deceives his father and gets the blessing. And then Esau comes back. And Esau is like, Father, how you mean you give the blessing to Jacob? Verse 33 of Genesis 27. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him. And indeed he's blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me. Me too, my father. He wasn't like, well, you can still. No, he was like, no, I need your blessing. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He deceived me these two times. He took my birthright and now he has taken my blessing. There's a difference between the birthright and the blessing. The birthright is natural. The birthright is a right to twice whatever the father has. He gets twice as much as the other brothers. It's a natural thing. If you have three cows and you get two and the other one get one. It's just natural. The blessing goes beyond all of that. We're talking about taking over the control of the enemies. We're talking about people serving you. And so when Esau gave up his birthright, he was thinking in his mind, well, I still have the blessing. I still have the blessing. So you can take the birthright. But Jacob got the blessing and now he's angry because now you got the real stuff. He's not like, well, it's only a little blessing. It's no big deal. Let me jump ahead out of sequence. In the New Testament, Jesus is ministering. And the parents brought their children. Why? The children weren't sick. Right? They weren't sick. They brought them saying, listen, this is a man of God. The anointing of God is upon him. Something is happening. We want our children blessed. Now, we in this Western world, we don't understand spiritual things, and so we miss out on a lot. And the disciples were like, why you don't take your children and let them go and play hopscotch or something? Why are you trying to distract the master? And they were trying to prevent the children from coming because they were like thinking, people have serious needs here. Why are you bringing your little children? And the Bible says Jesus became angry. He became angry. He was like, no, 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 no. Let the children come unto me. And the Bible says he took them in his arms. He was personal. Not just some general blessing. He took up each one of them and blessed them. Why? Because blessing is part of how God wants to impact your life and my life. Some things happen in the spiritual realm when a blessing is released. And so when Jacob was blessed and Esau is about to Esau is angry and saying, I'm going to kill this guy as soon as my father dies. And Rebekah says, you know what, Jake? You better leave here and go. My uncle, your uncle, my brother Laban is up, so you go and be with him. And the Bible says that that very night, as Jacob was on his way, what happened? He has a dream. The heavens open. Supernatural intervention in his life. Why? His father released a blessing in his life, and suddenly the heavens were open to Jacob. You understand what I'm saying, friends? It wasn't just some empty words, but because his father imparted a blessing into the life of his son, suddenly his son was now experiencing the supernatural. Man, I wish I knew these things when I was growing up. I wish I knew this when I was a teenager, when I was in my early 20s. That there's such a thing as an impartation, some things that can make a difference in your life. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you can speak curses or you can speak blessing. Several years ago, someone asked me, so why couldn't Jacob still bless Esau? Sorry, why couldn't Isaac, somebody's listening, still bless Esau? And I like it to let me give you an illustration. You have a title for your car. And you sign the title and you hand it to Becca. And Becca receives it. Then if her sister Sierra comes along, you're too late. She has already received it. You can't get it again. It's gone. You see? So when the father released that blessing, the spiritual, Jacob just laid hold of it. It's mine. I'm walking in it. You can't get it again. It's not mine. I've received and walked in it. And so Isaac was like, I'm sorry, but I've already released that level of blessing into the life of Jacob. And so when you start to see that and understand that, then you realize that by faith, when you lay hold of something, it's yours. And nobody can come and take it from you. You can walk in it. And that's what Jacob did. And that's why Jacob could say to Joseph when he came, listen, I was blessed of God. Jacob goes to Laban, and Laban gets blessed, and Laban says, you know, I deserve that I'm blessed because of you. That's what he says. Watch this. So Jacob is on his way back to see Esau, and he meets an angel. Right? And he's wrestling with the angel all night. And what does the angel says? Listen, daylight is coming, I need to go. What does he say to the angel? I'm not letting you go until you bless me. You understand? So Jacob understood the power of blessing. And Jacob is like, no. Listen, I want a blessing and I'm not going to release you until you bless me. But Jacob is already blessed. No, I want more and more and more and more. But we are so passive. It's like, well, you know, God answered a prayer yesterday and my job is all right. Why should I want any more? But God has blessings and blessings in store for you and for me. And he's looking for us to have this attitude that says, Lord, if you have a blessing, I want it.
Yes.
I want it. I'm not going to satisfy with what I have. There's more in God for me.
Amen.
And so the angel released a blessing into Jacob's life. The angel said, so, what's your name, Jacob? From now on, you're going to be called Israel. A blessing which says, no longer will you be known by your past. No longer will you be known as a supplanter. No, you're going to be known as someone who has prevailed with God. Somebody who's walked with God. Somebody who's been before God. I'm going to change your very nature. I'm going to change your destiny.
Amen.
That's what a blessing can do.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, friends. So people try to do all sort of stuff. Thank God for some of those things. You can go to school and do all sort of stuff. But if you can receive the blessing, man, it makes all the difference. All the difference. So no wonder when these sons came to Jacob, Jacob said, bring them here. Let me impart a blessing into the lives of these two boys. Because Jacob understood the power of blessing, and Joseph would have heard the stories. And so Joseph himself realized, no. My father can't die, and he doesn't impart the blessing into my sons. He's not just going there saying, come, let me show your grandfather before he dies. You know, he was a good man. No, he's saying, no. If grandfather have enough strength, I want him to impart a blessing into the lives of my boys. Amen. Because my father, his life was changed because of blessing. Amen. And Joseph would perhaps say, and my life is changed because of blessing. And Ephraim and Manasseh's life was changed because of blessing. Jacob put his hands across and put his right hand on the head of the younger one. And Joseph is like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be. And Jacob is like, no. Let me impart this blessing. The younger one will be greater. And from then forth, the young one, Ephraim, is now saying, we now say Ephraim and Manasseh, the greater before the lesser. Because a blessing was imparted into their lives. And when you look in your Bible and look at the maps at the back, you find land being given to Ephraim and Manasseh. They are not one of the 12 sons, but they are the ones of blessing. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. Sure.
Neither I nor Joe came from godly families. Our parents didn't, I mean, his mother was probably a Christian, but she wasn't really have much understanding of God. And when I grew up, my parents were opposite. So you think, how does this apply to my life? How does this apply to your life? I can tell you that there's some things that God is going to give you one-to-one as you walk with him. But there are servants of God out there who have anointing on their life, who are walking in integrity. And if you want from God, you have to go after it. A lot of people, I've heard people say when Brownsville was around, when other places around, well, if God wants to bless me here, he'll do it. There are men and women of God who have anointings on their life. And if you want it, you have to go after it. A lot of the stuff that I have, yes, God has come through for me personally, but there's a lot of stuff that he has brought in me into through other people who are men and women of God with his anointing. I'm not talking about running after anybody who has a nice little message or has a little power in their life, because I want to know they have integrity. But I'm talking about men and women of God. For example, the first time that I really felt God anoint me for healing was at the Robbie Dawson, when he had an altar call. And I went up and I had this weird experience where my hands were tingling and on fire. And I began to see healing through my laying on of hands that I, at a level I'd never seen before. Guess what? If you want it, you have to go for it. And sometimes that isn't just a personal, my little walk with God. Sometimes you have to put yourself in the place for it. We'd have loved to have a godly heritage in the natural, but we didn't. But that doesn't mean we can't get one and we can't become the start of one.
You didn't hear it over the side. She said tag team preaching. And one last scripture to mention. It's in Genesis chapter 29, verse 26. Jacob not only blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, he blessed Joseph and he blessed his 12 sons. But in Genesis 29 and verse 26, it says, and he's talking to Joseph, I think, here. He says, your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, and in bracket my own says, and of my progenitors, in other words, greater than my ancestors, the bounty of the age of whole hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. Then verse 28 says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. So Jacob blessed his 12 sons, but one thing Jacob said is that your father's blessing is greater than the ancient mountains. In other words, what Jacob had basically the generation of blessings being accumulated, and he's passing it on now to Joseph, and he's like, you're getting more than I got. You see, you're getting more than Esau, than Isaac got. And the blessing you're getting is more permanent than even these ancient mountains. The mountains are there to protect you. Well, these blessings will protect you. These blessings will cause you to rise to the top. These blessings will cause you to be the head and not the tail. To be above and not beneath. To be blessed in the country and blessed in the city. To bless as you leave your home. To be blessed as you come home. You can send your kids into the public school and they're blessed. They will do well. Why? Because the blessings of God rest upon them. It's not luck. It's not luck. When Laban was blessed, he wasn't like, well, I'm just a lucky guy. He was like, no, I'm blessed because of you, Jacob. If we want to triumph in life, we have to lay hold of blessings. It's an avenue that God has for us so we can walk victoriously. So rather than you strive for all your life trying to do this and to do that, just to have a blessing imparted that sets you free and helps you to fulfill your destiny in the Lord. Let's just bow our heads. I'm going to take a step of faith. All these guys, when they laid hold of blessing, they walked in it by faith. When the Lord said to Jacob that you shall be called Israel, he laid hold of it by faith until it came to pass. As my wife said, some of us didn't have godly fathers. I certainly didn't. So you might say, Joe Campbell, how does this really apply to me? My father is already deceased, so is my mother. So how does this really apply to me? Well, I just felt this morning as I was here seated that sometimes we can have substitutes. People will stand in that place to impart a blessing. People who have served the Lord. So I'm going to ask John. John has served as a pastor for years. John, if you and Gail would come up here, stand on that side. I'm going to ask Curtis. How many of you know that Curtis was a pastor? Curtis and Betty, if you come up and stand over this side. Sister Tona, will you come? Woman of God who has served God for years. Let's just stand. This morning, if you're saying, Joe Campbell, I didn't get a blessing from my father, perhaps your father even cursed you. Some parents curse their children. Say, not, you won't come to any good. You're going to have a life hard because you're so ornery. And they curse the children rather than bless them. Now, if you have a godly father, a godly uncle, you seek them out and ask them, would you bless me? But if you don't have that, and you want a blessing this morning, I'm going to invite you just to come forward to one of these three people. And just to have them, just you, brothers and sisters, you just impart a blessing as a servant of God into the lives of these people. And I'm going to believe God that as we do this, things will happen in the spiritual realm.